Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 37 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Today's Wednesday, April 4th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka Sound Sacro Herring Fishery will stand down until Thursday in order to give processors time to catch up with the incoming catch. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game estimates fishermen caught roughly 5,600 tons of fish during the second opening on Monday. That brings the total harvested so far to about 10,400 tons, or more than a third of this year's guideline harvest level. The 48 boats in this year's fishery are attempting to catch 28,829 tons of herring. About 20 nautical miles of spawn have been recorded, including along Sitka's road system from the breakwater north. The herring must be caught before they deposit their eggs. ADF&G management biologist Dave Gordon says the timing of the fishery is always a concern.
Certainly this year we're finding ourselves behind the curve on the spawn, so it's definitely of great concern. That means the fish are putting their eggs on the beach, and so there's a significant portion of the stock that's not going to be available for potential harvest.
Aerial surveys took place yesterday to continue monitoring the distribution of the fish and the progression of the spawn. The next vessel survey is slated for today. The recorded message on ADF&G's hotline is having technical problems. We will update fishery news as it becomes available, and we'll post a link to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game on our website, kcaw.org. And it's not just herring. The bears are awake. ADF&G biologist Phil Mooney says some joggers spotted a brown bear on Monday evening at about 5:30 p.m. in the benchlands between Kramer Avenue and Harbor Mountain Road. Mooney also says trash cans were knocked over along Sawmill Creek Road. He urges residents not to leave bear attractants in their yards.
Bird feeders, pet food that might be outside, barbecue grills, garbage that may be left over, had been buried by the snow. Just pick things up and make sure the bears aren't around to spend a whole lot of time in your yard.
Other steps include not taking out your trash until trash day, especially if it contains food waste or other smelly items a bear might find interesting. Mooney said the bears are right on schedule. In recent years, sightings in Sitka have seemed more numerous, and local officials have fielded several calls about sightings, trash cans knocked over, or dead chickens. Mooney says brown bears, especially sows with cubs, can be defensive, especially when surprised. If you do encounter a brown bear, there are important safety tips to keep in mind.
If you've got more than one person, you definitely want to gather up yourselves. Do not run. Keep the bear in view if you can, and talk to it. Wave your arms, make yourself big is what they encourage. And don't necessarily stare at them. That's a kind of a sign of aggression, but kind of keep them in view and just move slowly out of the area. And if you have bear pepper, it'd be an excellent time to take that out of the holster and have it in your hand. And hopefully you will have previously read the directions and know how to operate it without finding that time right then to try to do that. So if you have a dog and you've been walking them off leash, you want to make sure that they're on leash, because they have a nasty tendency to run towards the bear and the bear will chase them back to you.
And if the bear charges and contact appears unavoidable, play dead.
You want to get down on the ground, lay on your stomach, cover up the back of your neck with your hands if you can, or leave your backpack on and kind of roll up in a ball and be quiet as you can.
Bear sightings can be reported to ADF&G at 747-5449 or to the Sitka Police at 747-3245. There also is a Facebook group that tracks bears in Sitka. You can find a link on our website, kcaw.org. Some students at Mount Edgecombe High School in Sitka recently went on a field trip, the kind of field trip we all might like to take if we didn't mind dancing in front of thousands of people. Eight members of the school's Yupik Dance Ensemble traveled to the Netherlands in January to perform at a cultural festival, and on their way home, they stopped in Rotterdam and Paris to hold workshops on traditional Yupik dance.
At first, I was really nervous until the first three songs, and then I started to get used to it.
Corey Myers is a senior at Mount Edgecombe from Pilot Station. The Western Experience is an annual festival in Den Bosch, Netherlands, celebrating the American West. Native American dance is a huge part of the festival. Den Bosch is a long way from dancing in the Alaska Day Parade in Sitka. Cecilia Chukihuk is a senior from Alakanuk. She also had some butterflies.
I was really nervous the first time. I couldn't believe how big the crowd was, but then after a while, I got used to it, and knowing that they've never seen a dance before made me more brave.
The Mount Edgecombe students danced in front of about 15,000 people over the course of 9 days in late January and early February. Besides the Den Bosch Festival, they performed in Rotterdam and held a workshop at a dance school there. Then it was on to Paris to hold workshops at the Lycée Racine and the Lycée Brasson, two well-known dance academies. Baxter Bond, a senior from Tununuk, was the group's spokesman, introducing the dances and Yupik culture to people from vastly different cultures.
I think it kind of shows how unique we are. And there are about 20,000 Yupik people in Alaska. And for the people in Europe, it kind of shows a different culture of a faraway place to them.
The students say that many in their audience expressed interest in continuing the cultural dialogue that began in this trip. It's possible that dancers from the European schools may do a reciprocal visit to Alaska in the future. These students, all seniors, won't be at Mount Edgecombe if that happens, but that doesn't mean they won't be dancing. Cecilia Chukihuk says it's a lifelong tradition.
I've been dancing since I was a little girl, and I'll continue to do so. I dance mostly at home.
And Corey Myers is also embracing tradition.
I also drum back at home. I'm one of the youngest drummers back at home. I drum with my uncle. So I'm not going to quit it.
The Yupik Dancers European Tour was sponsored in large part by the Chelista Corporation, with additional help from several Sitka businesses. The dancers say underclassmen returning to the group next year might consider trips to Australia, Spain, or Mexico to share Yupik dance with other indigenous cultures around the world. At least one community is prepared to go to court again to challenge the latest version of the state's legislative boundaries. The Petersburg City Council decided to pursue the issue again yesterday, or Monday rather, and go all the way to the state Supreme Court if necessary. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
Petersburg's redistricting attorney, Tom Klinkner, told the council his office had researched whether the city could bring another claim against the Alaska Redistricting Board. The city lost a very similar suit late last year in Superior Court and chose not to appeal. Klinkner thought it was likely a judge would allow another such suit to move forward, even though the city would be raising many of the same issues it raised on the last go-around.
The board has, come up with a new plan after it was told to come up with a new plan, even though that new plan has the same boundaries in the area that we're concerned with. It looks like a totally new transaction and one that the city, if it wishes to, could challenge.
The state Supreme Court told the board to come up with a new plan last month that was the result of legal challenges from the Fairbanks area. The board's since adopted a draft revision that changes electing district boundaries for parts of the Aleutians and the interior, as well as areas around Nome and Bethel. It makes no changes, however, in Southeast, where Petersburg has asked the board to keep it in a district with Sitka. As it stands, Petersburg will be in a new district with Juneau. If that doesn't change, Councillor Mark Jensen thought it was worth spending the money to go to court again. He also attended Monday's meeting by phone.
The Supreme Court told the redistricting board to redraw their whole plan, not just for Fairbanks. It was the entire plan. And we're part of that, in my opinion.
Petersburg's unsuccessful lawsuit last year initially argued that the small fishing community had more in common with other smaller southeast cities than with Juneau and would have less of a voice in the legislature. Petersburg officials eventually dropped those arguments and simply claimed that the district was not compact as required by the state constitution. Superior Court Judge Michael McConaughey ruled in December that Petersburg's new district was compact enough. If they were going to spend more money on the issue, Councillor Rick Braun wanted to be clear on the bottom line.
It would be pointless to head down this road unless we were planning to go all the way and get there. to go $10,000 down and not be prepared to go all the way to the Supreme Court would just be throwing money away. So are we prepared to do that, and how much would that be?
The council voted unanimously to spend up to $20,000 to pursue the issue. They won't be going to court just yet. The redistricting board process has to run its course first. Redistricting board executive director Taylor Bickford does not expect the board will make any changes to the southeast lines. He points out that the Superior Court found the southeast districts were constitutional when Petersburg challenged the plan last year.
To the extent that Petersburg had a challenge, that issue was taken care of before we ever got to trial. They had challenged that their district was not compact, and that they were that challenge was struck down on summary judgment before we ever got to trial.
The redistricting board is slated to finalize its revised plan on Thursday. Then it goes back to the Superior Court, which will hear objections before issuing a decision. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Senators are expected to vote today on a $9.5 billion state operating budget. The bill would then go to a conference committee. House and Senate negotiators are expected to be named this week. Senate Finance Committee co-chair Lyman Hoffman says the biggest sticking point could be the Senate's approach to tourism marketing funds, but he says he doesn't expect this or any other difference to cause any big fights. The Senate plan would provide $16 million in tourism marketing dollars, but the Commerce Department couldn't use that to contract with trade associations unless the trade group provided matching funds. Meanwhile, work continues on a capital budget. Co-chair Bert Stedman said the intention is to limit the budget to the same size as last year, including a proposed bond package. Some weather forecast today for Sitka calls for mostly sunny skies, highs around 49, light winds becoming northwest to 10 miles per hour this afternoon. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, highs around 47 with light winds. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.